We read from Luke chapter 18. In our Sunday school lesson, we were in Luke chapter 10. And in both cases, we have a man. In our Sunday school lesson, it was a lawyer. And in Luke chapter 18, it was a certain ruler. And they came to Jesus, and they both asked the same question. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And in this particular case, Jesus answered the question directly. He said, why do you call me good? There's nobody good but God. And then he said, thou knowest the commandments. And he mentioned a few of them. And he says, just keep these. Keep these. And the ruler said, well, I've kept them all since I was young. Now, I think he either outright lied or he was stretching the truth. Because especially as Jesus expanded on those commandments and talked about attitudes as well as acts, I don't think anybody could keep all of those commandments, even the ones that he mentioned there. And then he said, okay, go sell. If you've kept all these commandments, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, give everything to the poor, and then come follow me. And the Bible says that the rich man, the rich ruler, went away sorrowful because he was very rich. And he didn't see how he could sell what he had and give it away. And Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to get saved. Now, most of you here this morning would say, well, I don't have to worry about Jesus saying that about me because I'm not rich. And I would submit to you that we're comparing ourselves to the wrong people. We judge rich, whether we're rich or poor, by comparing ourselves to somebody like Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or that guy that owns Amazon and all those people that have billions of dollars. I would challenge you this morning to determine if you're wealthy or not, to compare yourselves to a man that lives in the slums of São Paulo, Brazil, in a cardboard house. Or somebody in a country in Africa who lives in a mud hut with mud on the floor, no facilities, no electricity. Or compare yourself to somebody in any part of the world who enjoys none of the economic blessings that we have from God. And I dare say that if we would all do that, everyone would have to admit, I'm a rich person. Because God has blessed us in ways that we just can't comprehend when we compare ourselves to the rest of the world. Then Jesus said this. He made a startling statement. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get saved. Now, I've heard people say, Bible scholars, I've studied this passage, and I've heard people say that the needle was a low gate in Jerusalem, okay? And that to get through the gate, the camel had to get down on its knees and walk on its knees through the gate in order to get into Jerusalem. And I've thought about that. I really thought about that. Jesus knew what a gate was. He knew what a needle was. I mean, the word needle is used other times in the Bible. And I think if Jesus wanted to refer to the needle gate as being a low gate, he would have said, well, it's easier for the camel to get through that gate than it is for a rich man to get saved. He didn't say that. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get saved. I think he was talking about an actual needle. I think he was saying it's impossible for a rich man to get saved. But then he said, the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Amen. What God was saying is, man can't thread that needle, but God can. God can. There are people in this room this morning that need a miracle. There are people in this room this morning that are in certain situations that the only way they're going to make it is if God does something that they cannot do themselves. This morning, I want to be an encouragement. This morning, I want to increase your hope. This morning, I want to expand your faith. This morning, I want to lift up your dreams. This morning, I want to strengthen your courage. I want to preach on the subject, a needle-threading God. I'm glad we got a God that threads needles. Now, I'll be honest with you. In the past, I've tried to thread a needle. I have never successfully done it. I've licked that thread and licked that thread, and I've got my magnifying glass out, and I've tried to poke it through that needle, and I have not done it one time. I'm glad I have a God that is a needle-threading God. I want to remind you what kind of God we have this morning. Listen to what the Bible says. In Genesis chapter 18, God comes to a man that's 100 years old and a woman that's 90 years old, and he says, guess what? Guess what you're going to have? And they said, what are we going to have? And God says, you're going to have a baby. Now, the Bible says that Abraham and Sarah both laughed. I don't know about you. If I was 100 years old and God told me that, I'd cry. I love babies as long as they're somebody else's babies. And when little Anna needs changing, I say, here, Mom, or here, Dad, I've done my duty in that regard. I would have cried. In chapter 18 of Genesis, verse 14, the Bible asks this question when Abraham and Sarah doubted God, when God told them at that age they were going to have a baby. The Bible asks the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Hundreds of years later, the answer echoes back from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 32, verse 17, where the Bible says, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. That's the kind of God that we have. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, the Bible says, nothing shall be impossible unto you, and nothing shall be impossible unto us, because we have a God that can thread needles. In Mark chapter 10, verse 27, it says, all things are possible. Why? Why are all things possible? Because we have a needle-threading God. In Luke 1, verse 37, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Matthew 19, 26, with God, all things are possible. In Mark 9, 23, all things are possible. I want to remind you this morning that all things are possible because we have a needle-threading God. Hey, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. And he'll find a way to help you. He'll find a way for you to make it. You can't do it. There are some things that you're going to face in this life that you cannot do, you cannot handle on your own. Your preacher may try to help you. He can't handle them. Your parents may try to help you. They can't handle it. Your spouse may try to help you. They can't handle it. Praise God, he can. He can do what we can't do. We can't thread that needle, but we have a God that can. I have several points this morning, and they all ask the question, what's your need today? What's the need in your life today? Is it a physical need? Do you have a sickness, a chronic illness, a physical condition? I want to remind you this morning that we have a needle-threading God. The God who on the first Friday took dust from the ground and made it into bones and made it into veins and made it into arteries and made a heart and a liver and a spleen, and he laid out that body, joined the bones together, thread the veins and the arteries through that body. And you say, Brother Darrell, didn't God just speak man into existence like he did the sun, moon, and the stars and everything else in the universe? No. God got his hands dirty for us. He took the dust of the ground and he made man. Every part of our bodies was fashioned by the hand of God. He put flesh on that body and he breathed into that body the breath of life. And the Bible says that man became a living soul. The God who made Adam from the dust of the ground is your God. He is a needle-threading God. He knows our bodies better than any doctor. I mean, we have machines that can see different parts of it that we can't see from the outside. We have different tests that we can run today. But I want you to understand this morning that nobody understands the human body better than our needle-threading God, because he made it. He made it. The same God who cured Naaman's leprosy is your God. He's a needle-threading God. The same God who added 15 years of life to Hezekiah's life is your God. He's a needle-threading God. The God of Bethsaida's pool who stirred the waters and the people that got into the water first is your God. He's a needle-threading God. The God who unstopped deaf ears, opened blind eyes, loose dumb tongues, straightened crooked backs is your God. He's a needle-threading God. The God who raised Lazarus from the dead and Jairus' daughter from the dead and the widow of Cain's son from the dead is your God. He's a needle-threading God. I've seen that God at work. I've seen him at work. I stood in a hospital with a dad and a mom whose son was in a terrible accident. He should have been pronounced dead at the scene. They brought him to the hospital. The doctors looked at him. They said, there's nothing that we can do for this kid. There's absolutely nothing we can do. His body is wrecked beyond repair. And his mother said, no, we're not giving up on him. We joined hands and we prayed to a needle-threading God. And that kid is alive today. Not because, and yes, God used the skills of the doctors and the nurses and the hospitals. But they had said there was no hope. There's no chance that he has. But we have a God that can do what man cannot do. We have a God that can do the impossible. I stood in the recovery room for a man that had open heart surgery. If you've never been into the recovery room of a man that had open heart surgery, you won't be able to comprehend this. But you go into a room and there's hundreds of wires. There's hundreds of tubes. And I stood there with that man's wife. And the doctor said, we did our very best. We did our very best. But I don't think he's going to make it. I don't think he's going to make it. That wife grabbed my hand and said, pray, preacher, pray. We prayed. He's still alive today. And that was years ago. We have a needle-threading God. I could point over here to Phyllis. How many years has it been, Phyllis? How many years? 14 years with cancer. Still here. Still kicking. Don't tell me that we don't have a God that can do the impossible. We have a needle-threading God. What's your need this morning? Is it a physical need or is it a financial need? Are you having trouble making ends meet? Are you deep in debt? You don't know where your next meal's coming from or how you're going to pay the insurance bills tomorrow? I want to remind you, there's still manna in heaven's cupboards. There's still water in Horeb's rock. God still have ravens that he can use to feed his people because we have a needle-threading God. Our God still knows math. He still knows how to multiply the widow's oil and meal. He still knows how to multiply the loaves and the fishes. God still has a Boaz to provide for Ruth or a David to provide for Mephibosheth. We have a needle-threading God. He's still in the mining business. Our God knows where all the gold is. Our God knows where all the silver is. He knows where all the diamonds is. We have a needle-threading God. I've seen God thread that needle. Brother Walt, how much did we pay for this building? $150,000? Yeah. $150,000. I mean, we didn't have a record. I mean, we couldn't go to the bank and say, here's a record of our offerings for the past 15 years. We're a good bet to loan money to. Well, shoot, we didn't even have much of a budget. But God gave us this building.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He gave us this building. You know what it's insured for today? $2.5 million. Not because of us. We're nothing. We're nothing. We have a God that knows how to thread the needle. We have a God that does things man cannot do. What's your need this morning? Are you in a battle? Are you in a fight? I want to remind you that the same God you have is the God that made the sun stand still for Joshua, made the walls of Jericho fall down. Same God that sent Gideon into battle with 300 men with no swords and no shields, just a pitcher covering up a lamp and a trumpet. I want to remind you that same God that we have today is the God that strengthened Samson and allowed him to kill over 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. The same God that went with David when he took his sling to fight the giant Goliath. The same God that went with Daniel into the lion's den, and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego into the fiery furnace. You in a battle? You in a fight? Let me tell you this morning, you have a God that knows how to thread needles. I've seen God fight people's fight. I've seen God win those fights. I've seen God do things that I did not think was possible, but he did them. Proving that he knew how to thread needles. What's your need this morning? You need to face you have to make a decision? Do you have to make that decision tomorrow or next week? Do you have some tough choices that you have to make? Could you use some guidance? I remind you that God still has a cloud to lead by day and a fire to lead by night. He still has some donkeys that will talk to us if we listen. And boy, I'm glad Brother Clyde's not here this morning, or he'd say amen to that, preacher. He gave us you. And don't none of you tell him I said that. He's still got some prophets that he puts words in their mouths. He gave Solomon his wisdom and Peter his boldness, Jeremiah his compassion. Your God and my God is a needle-threading God. He'll help us make every decision that we need to make. What's your need this morning? Do you have a spiritual need? Do you have the same need that this rich young man had when he came to Jesus and said, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How do I get saved? How do I enter the kingdom of God?" I'll remind you this morning that the same God that saved Nicodemus when he came with that same question to Jesus by night, didn't ask it. Jesus didn't give him a chance to ask it, but Jesus knew what Nicodemus wanted. The same God who told Nicodemus that you must be born again is your God. The same God who dealt with the woman at the well, told her every sin that she ever committed. He didn't really do that. She thought he did, but told her every sin she ever committed. And said, "If you drink from the water of this well, you'll thirst again. But if you drink the water that I offer you, you'll never thirst again." That's our God. The same God who looked up that sycamore tree and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house for dinner today." And Zacchaeus, that wicked tax collector, came down, took Jesus home for dinner, got saved. Got saved. That's our God. The same God that called Matthew from his collection of taxes is our God. The same God that met Saul on the road to Damascus that said, "Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks." The same God who saved Saul and turned him into the Apostle Paul is our God. The same God who went into that garden in Gadara, into the tombs of Gadara, and gave that maniac back his right mind, saved his soul, is our God today. You see, when Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to get saved all on his own, he was really talking about every man, because none of us can get saved on our own. It's impossible for any man to get right with God on our own. If we're going to get right with God on our own, you know what we got to do? We got to keep every commandment every day forever. Forever. Can't break one of them. If we break one of them, we're guilty of breaking them all. If we're going to get right with God on our own, every commandment, every day, forever. And none of us, I'm sorry, you may be a good person, you may be a wonderful person, but none of us are capable of doing that. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And when Jesus said, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to be saved, he could have said, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for any man to get saved on his own. It was impossible. And it is impossible. You can't do it. I can't do it for you. The church can't do it for you. I mean, you don't become a Christian just by coming to church. I mean, you don't become a hamburger when you go to McDonald's. You don't become a Christian when you go to church any more than you become a car if you go into a garage. It's not of works. It's nothing that we can do. It's not baptism. It's not the Lord's Supper. Your mom and dad can't do it for you. Your wife or husband can't do it for you. Your preacher can't do it for you. It's impossible. It's impossible for any man. It's impossible for you to do it, and it's impossible for any man to do it for you. But what is impossible for man is possible with God. Because when, and again, this was not a plan he thought of after we sinned. This was a plan devised before the foundations of the world were laid. He knew we were going to sin. He knew that somebody would have to pay for our sin. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, to die on a cross for our sin. Amen. To purchase what we could not buy for ourselves. And the Bible promises us that if we believe in him and receive him, he'll forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and make us one of his children. You see, I can't thread that needle, and neither can you, but God can, and God did. And if you would ask that same question that rich young man asked that day, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Let me tell you what the answer is. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on Calvary, and you can have eternal life. You can have a home in heaven. You can stand before God just as if you've never sinned. You can stand before God innocent, pure, and white because you're dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning, and you're on your way to heaven, it's because you trusted that God that can thread a needle. And if you're here this morning on your way to hell, it's because you've never trusted him. Why not let him thread the needle for you this morning? Why not let him do what he can do that you cannot do? Why not let him save you? If you come to him, he will. He says, "Whoever shall come to me, I'll no wise turn away." You come, he'll take you. He'll make you part of his family. Would you do that this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being a God that can do the impossible. We sing that little chorus sometimes. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? We have a God that specializes in the impossible. He does the things others cannot do. He'll do that for every person here today that doesn't know Christ. He'll save them. Impossible for us to do, but very possible for him to do. And then for every Christian that are here, that's in an impossible situation, remind us, dear Lord, this morning, the kind of God that we have, that needle-threading God. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. If we need to make a decision, help us to do it this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.